ました。
Welcome to another episode of...
I was trying to keep my mouth closed.
Chastity is trying to eat oranges while we're trying to record an episode. Why are you doing that, daughter?
I got one more in the pocket.
Chas runs around with oranges in her pocket.
All the time.
How many more oranges? Just one?
I got three more on this side. I'm kidding.
I would not put it past you to have three more on the other side. Welcome to another episode of the Movie Challenge Podcast. I'm your host, JP.
And I'm your other host, Chastity.
And thank you for joining us today. Chas is just like making weird faces while she eats this orange because she's trying to stay away from the microphone.
So you don't hear me crunch.
Right.
But I like the sound of it because it's satisfying, but the orange will...
Yeah, don't shoot orange juice all over my microphone.
So now I can't smell the orange. Oh, I sniffed the mic. Sorry.
Why are you saying sorry? That's like something you've been doing ever since we started.
I was trying not to because I thought it was annoying for other people. So I was like, I'll stop.
It probably is.
Exactly. Hey, do you want to aim him some more? I got it. Like, I can do it right now.
Not that. Oh, Lord. All right. You done with the oranges so we can like focus and talk?
Yeah, I'll eat this one in a minute. I'll eat this one
After we're done.
It'll get bad by then.
No, it won't. It's cold down here. It's like a fridge.
It is like a fridge down here.
I know.
Let's begin it. Come on. Let's go.
Let's go. So today we are still in the seas. Mm-hmm. It's going to take us forever to get all the way through our movie.
Yep.
But we are going to kick it off talking about, well, not kick it off, but we're going to talk about four different movies today. We're going to talk about Crash from 2004, Crybaby from 1990, Cursed from 2005, and then a new movie that just came out on Netflix, Damsel from 2024. We'll kick it off first, though, with Crash, because we're going in alphabetical order. Crash came out in 2004. It was rated R. It was 1 hour and 52 minutes long, and it was about Los Angeles citizens with vastly separate lives collide in interweaving stories of race, loss, and redemption. It was directed by Paul Haggis. It was written by Paul Haggis and Bobby Moresco. It starred Don Cheadle, Sandra Bullock, Thandwe Newton. It's got everybody in it. Brendan Fraser. I'm trying to think of the other guy's name. What's his name? Let's see who else we got in here. Tony Danza, Keith David, Loretta Devine, Matt Dillon, Jennifer Esposito. Let's see who else. It's Brendan Fraser, I said. It had a lot. Terrence Howard. It's got Ludacris in it, right? It had a lot of people in this movie. Mm-hmm. Michael Pena, a real young Michael Pena. It also had, what's his name? Lawrence Tate. He was in it too. Like, it had a ton of people. Ryan Phillippe. I'm probably butchering some of these names. Phillippe, I think, right? Had a lot of people in it, though. But essentially, right, it was like over like a 48-hour period of time, just kind of all these interweaving stories of these different mm-hmm. people's lives, right, how they intersect. And the overall theme that it was dealing with was race. Now, I believe Crash won an Oscar for best film that year. And it was after, obviously being 2004, after the 9/11 tragedy, right? So the racial tensions kind of high, and it highlights a lot of those different things from, Ludacris and Lawrence Tate's characters, talking about the stereotypes against black folks and black men, mm-hmm. and then living up to those stereotypes. The rich white people, the white woman that got mugged, so now she's against the dude that's changing her locks because mm-hmm. he's Hispanic and he's just trying to take care of his daughter. Mm-hmm. There's a shop owner that's Middle Eastern, and he's trying to get a gun at the very beginning of the movie because he's trying to protect his shop because it keeps getting broken into mm-hmm. and people are, writing racial slurs and stuff to him. But then he's beefing with the locksmith guy, Michael Pena, again, because he thinks that Michael Pena is just trying to rip him off. And so, like, it's this whole interweaving story.
A bunch of stories.
And some people, the Matt Dillon plays a pretty despicable cop, and then Ryan Phillippe is this younger cop with ideals and about like he's not like that. He's not going to be racist
he's
like
not
that.
Be terrible.
And it was really interesting because it does talk about like how we view ourselves and then who we end up actually being, and like. There's like so Matt Dillon's character at one point, he pulls over Terrence Howard and Thandiwe Newton and basically sexually assaults her, doing the frisking. Uh-huh. And then later on, she gets in a car accident and he's the officer that has to save her. You know, like she recognizes him and is like, no, not you. But she's in a burning car and she's trapped upside down and her car is going to catch on fire and blow up. And he's trying to save her life. And like, so it was a very interesting movie on how they tackle all those different issues. It's a tough watch to a degree because the racial tension, right, is so upfront and in your face. And some of it is really, really, really stereotypical, but a lot of stereotypes come from some sort of truth, and I think that's what they were trying to tackle here. So I remember seeing this movie when it came out.
It was just uncomfortable for me.
I remember this movie when it came out, so it was, you know, to me, I remember these times. I remember 9/11 happened. I remember when this movie was out. I remember seeing it the first time and being like, it was a good movie. But it wasn't one that I go back and watch over and over again, especially because some of the characters do seem a little over the top stereotypical. But it does make some important comments. Like it's commentary on society to a degree is an important conversation, especially in the years since, especially with. You know, it's an applicable movie for even now. And so it's still relevant in a way. In a sad way, it's still relevant. Chastity, what did you think about this movie?
I thought it was really uncomfortable.
Being the young person that never
And I just it. Wanted it to end. it kept taking plot turns that I wasn't expecting. And I was like...
Oh, so it at least kept you on your toes, though.
Well, yeah, but it was keeping me on my toes in the sense of making me uncomfortable with every plot turn that it took. I was just like, can you stop? Still want the cop to die. I don't give a crap his dad's dying. I mean, his dad sounds like a good guy, but his son isn't. So, I didn't really care. I'm trying to think. I'm glad. Oh, the most interesting part about the movie was the Southern Eastern like dad that went to go shoot the
you
guy.
Mean the Middle Eastern? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what you said. Yeah,
I think you.
I don't know.
Think he was.
I meant Middle Eastern. Okay.
Right.
But I don't
was, like,
know
from Jordan or something.
I don't
I can't
know
what
cultures
they were.
Very well.
Right. Anyway.
But so. I thought it was really interesting. So when he went to go shoot the locksmith guy, and you know, the bullet, when he shot him, the little girl came running and the dad like picked her up. Yeah, what are you doing there, buddy?
Sorry, my phone's on vibrate and it vibrated the table so we could hear it.
I forgot
I'm sorry.
Mine wasn't even on silent. So... Okay, anyway, but like when the dad went to shoot the other guy, well, the old guy went to shoot the other, like the dad picked up his daughter and she like was right there and he shot. And... Did you hear that?
Yeah, what? Heard what? I don't hear anything.
Anyway, when he shot.
You're tripping.
I'm not tripping. I'm not tripping. My thing, I can't hear this anymore.
Maybe you're doing something to my wires.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm just going to keep talking and pretend
going.
Like I can hear myself. When he shot, nothing happened. The little girl didn't get hurt and all that. And so when the dad went back to his shop, God, that was really awkward. I'm taking forever to explain this, and it's really awkward.
Mm-hmm. While you're trying to play with oranges. better clean that mess up.
What mess? Oh, see, now I can hear again. This is crazy. Okay, anyway, it's really awkward right now. It's really awkward. Okay, so he goes back to his... I can't hear again. So he goes back to his shop, and the daughter's like, what happened? Because he has a gun in his hand, and he's like, I shot, but nothing happened. It was like an angel and all that. And the daughter, she shows she's like, let me see the gun, Dad. And she goes back and it shows that the bullets, you know, what are they called?
They were blanks.
Yeah.
Because so, she didn't trust her dad with a gun.
Which that would be a crazy realization that, like, my dad is capable of killing someone.
Yeah, that was probably the darkest part.
Yeah.
Like with all the things that happen, right? There's a lot of, like, of dark, again, commentary on society, on racial tensions. But that one was probably the worst part. Like you said, try wiggling it around the ear where the, is it, wiggle both ears. Like the wire. Try the other ear because there's a wire on the other ear.
Crap.
No?
No.
Whatever. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know. Your thing's.
That's weird.
Going nuts. Anyway, go ahead.
So, anyway, you could always move to that seat and use those headphones. That mic works. Anyway.
It just turned on again.
It was really interesting because of. That, like you said, right? Like the movie opens with the daughter and the dad trying to buy the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you don't need a gun. He's like, I want a gun. She's like, you don't need a gun. The gun dealer is an old white guy and he's being all racist about him and telling him he needs to get out of his store and don't blow up our buildings and stuff, right? And so then she's like, you know, I need bullets. And then, you know, she's an attractive young woman, so the gun shop owner starts, like, making innuendos towards her about bullets fitting in chambers and stuff like that, and she says, give me those ones, and he's like, do you even know what these are? And she's like, yeah, I know, just give them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't show you which one she picked.
Yeah.
Just give me the red ones. So then, you know, his store, he has Michael Peña's character, the locksmith, come.
Mm-hmm.
And he changes the lock, but the door's messed up. So he's like, hey, I changed the lock, but you need a new door. And the shop owner is getting mad at him, saying he's just scamming him. Just go fix my door. There's a language barrier going on, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't fix your door. I'm not a door guy. I do locks. And then, you know, it turns into this big, they have this big fight. Eventually, he's like, you know what? See you later. I'm out of here. You know, you get your door fixed. So he doesn't get the door fixed. And then someone breaks in through that door,
mm-hmm,
and ruins his whole shop.
Yep.
And so in his mind, and then the insurance adjuster comes, and basically, because it was written on paper from the locksmith that, hey, your door is messed up, you need a new door, and the shopkeeper didn't get a new door, the insurance said they weren't going to pay for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was a preventable thing that he should have gotten the door replaced. So in his mind, it's all the locksmith's fault. He needs someone to blame other than himself. And mm-hmm, so he does take that gun. And like you said, that's the scarier part, is like,
the daughter knew that her dad's capable of.
Well, the daughter was afraid.
Yeah.
He was capable of that. But then when he actually went and tried to and pulled the trigger, and this little girl jumped in the way and he thought he killed this little girl, and then she was fine, he took it as like a sign, right, from God, and she was an angel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as the kid, I'd be like, holy crap, my dad just tried to kill someone.
Like, oh,
and he's capable of killing someone.
I can never trust my dad.
Yeah, it was wild.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just, like I said, it talks a lot about these different things. It's worth a watch, in my opinion. It's just not a movie that you're going to go, like, watch all the time.
Oh, in the young cop, when he shot that one guy that was in his car, made no sense to me because, like, he was being okay earlier on in the day, and then all of a sudden this guy gets in this car. But out of nowhere, it just went on.
It was weird how he, like,
out of nowhere, because he's being nice at first.
That wasn't his character the whole movie, and then all of a sudden he...
Yeah, just like, all of a sudden this guy gets in your car, and they were talking completely normal and fine, and then out of nowhere he just starts getting mean, and it was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense. He was being fine. He was being nice and everything to this guy that he picked up. And then as they're driving, and they're just talking like normal, being super nice to each other. And then all of a sudden, the white guy just gets angry. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, you just got angry out of nowhere. And then you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to shoot him.
Well, I think he got angry because he knew he was lying. Right, because like he said, he was there to catch. He was downtown to catch an opera or ice skating or something, like something that clearly looked like a lie. Right?
And when did he say that?
When they were in the car driving, he was like, "Oh, what are you doing downtown?" Because he was like, "I just want to get out of the valley,"
mm-hmm,
and you know, and he was like, "Oh, what were you doing downtown tonight or whatever?" And he says like ice skating or catching a show something, and then meanwhile the film is cutting to like his pants and his shoes and his clothes, and it's mm-hmm, showing like how like you're not someone that would be doing that thing, right? Like that racial observation of like, nah, you look like you're a drug dealer or something like that, or homeless possibly. And that's where his kind of like alarm bell started going off and he started changing his demeanor, but it was the opposite of how he'd been the whole time.
Yeah, but
and I think that what they were trying to do there, because remember he reports the other police officer.
Yeah, for what he did, yeah.
And that police officer is like, you'll find out that you don't, you're not who you really think you are.
Yeah, when you've been on here long enough.
Right. And so I think that that was a rush job. It felt kind of rushed to get him to that realization.
But also... But also, the black guy was stupid because when he was trying to pull out the same little figure that he had had up on his dashboard, he was like, oh, let me show you something, acting like it was a gun. It's like, you could have been like, it's a figure. It's a figure. It's a little figure.
Or you could have been like, oh, I got the same thing on mine.
Yeah. Instead of being like, oh, you want to see something? It's like.
Well, because he was like, what do you have in your pocket or whatever? And he was like, you want me to show you what I have in my pocket? Fine.
Yeah. He's like, you want to see it? And it's like, you're acting like you have a gun. So I don't really. Blame him.
Yeah, it was just an unfortunate situation. But then, and then what's weird, you know, is where the movie starts, and it starts at the end. Mm-hmm. Is kind of how it goes, right? Because like it's where it started at. Then it does like a jump, like a flashback to like 24 hours or 48 hours before, the day before, 2 days before, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting too because it does like a commentary on what.
Okay, I was just testing stuff out.
It does a commentary on also other races being racist against other races, right? So not just normal, like typical, like whites
being
racist against everybody else, but you know, like when like Don Cheadle's character, who's black, is dating a Hispanic lady, and he's making racial comments at her. She's making racial comments at him. So like, it touched on all of it.
Yeah. Wait, what?
What?
Who was dating him?
Don Cheadle, the cop, the black cop, was dating the...
There was no black cop.
Wow.
Wait, the chief?
No, the one. His brother was the one that got shot and dumped out.
Oh, that guy.
Ow, you just yelled.
Sorry, I can't hear. I apologize. I'm so sorry. That guy. I forgot that he was a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
If the headphones are bothering you, just like take them off or remove one.
I just couldn't hear.
You couldn't hear him talking into a microphone.
What? I can't hear out of the headphones.
So then take them off. Or take one ear off so you can hear.
No, but I can't hear myself in the microphone.
Mm.
So I can't tell how loud I'm being.
Ah, yeah, definitely. What would you rate this movie?
On an uncomfortable level. Probably like a 6-7. Okay. I'm gonna rate it like a 6. It wasn't really my favorite. But it, I mean, it touched on a lot of things, which I like that. I don't know. But the rating has nothing to do with the uncomfortableness.
Okay.
It just wasn't my favorite movie. Like, all right. I'd probably watch it once and be like, I'm good.
Yeah, I would give it a 7. I think it was it's a relevant movie. If maybe a little overhanded the way it did it, especially now, but it's still relevant. The topics are still things that are problems today. IMDb gives it a 7.7, so I'm even going under IMDb. It's worth a watch. If you've never seen Crash before, it's worth a watch. Just be ready to be uncomfortable.
I won't lie. I thought it was going to be a racing movie based off the word crash, but it was not at all recently.
Well, it was, you know, it centered around a crash. I think what was the opening quote was something like, living in LA, everything's so fast paced and everyone's always just driving around that sometimes the only interaction you have, or I think people get in car accidents just so they can have an interaction with people. And what was interesting too is at the end of the movie, another crash happens with some of the other like lesser portrayed characters. Like some of those characters that were kind of like side characters end up having a crash too, and you see how they're interacting with each other.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And it did take some wild turns. Like the human trafficking, that was wild.
That was wild. I felt bad when he got ran over, and then I saw that. And I was like, is that human trafficking? Or is that something
else? It was really crazy. They hit this Asian man, and then they take him and drop him off at the hospital because they don't want to get blamed. The two black carjackers.
Yeah.
They don't want to be, you know, arrested or get charges for killing this Asian guy. Yeah. So they take him. And then the one dude ran from the police and he was looking for a vehicle and he remembers that van. So he goes and steals the van, takes it to the chop shop. They open up the back and he was human trafficking.
Yeah.
So like it was just, yeah, it hit you with surprises. All right. Let's move on to something a little lighthearted or lighter hearted.
Was it?
Crybaby. Now, Chastity loves Crybaby.
I love older movies like that kind of theme of movie.
So, Crybaby came out in 1990. It's PG-13. It was 1 hour and 25 minutes long. It's in the 1950s Baltimore. A bad boy with a heart of gold wins the love of a good girl whose boyfriend sets out for revenge. It was directed by John Waters. It was written by John Waters. It stars Johnny Depp, Ricky Lake, Amy Locaine, a couple other people that you might recognize. But this is a young Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
A young Ricky Lake, right? Johnny Depp is the character of Crybaby. And yeah, this one's like, if you've seen Grease, right? This is kind of almost like a...
Grease is worse, though.
This is like a spoof of Grease. Like, it isn't. Because it's definitely making fun of Grease.
Yeah, I would say that. But Grease veers off way more. But I don't like Grease anymore. I used to love Grease. And then I rewatched it. I was like, this is... Little me had no idea. Little me was just like...
So tell me about Crybaby. Why do you like Crybaby?
Because it's funny as nuts. That's why I like Crybaby. I mean...
Like, it is over the top. And if you've seen any John Waters movies, like, you would understand...
It's very
over the top. How over the top it is. Mm-hmm. You know, like... What's the hatchet face?
Hatchet face.
Like, there's literally a girl that's... They call her Hatchet Face and stuff. And it's the...
She's pretty.
It's the classic, like, the good girl, like the preppy good girl whose boyfriend is the sports star, but she falls for dangerous motorcycle rider Crybaby.
Yeah.
You know, and they all live, like, in the park in some kind of community thing. And
what's the song he sang? Because I'm a crybaby.
Yeah, I mean, there's a crybaby thing.
A king who needs a queen, the sweetest hunk of sugar that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, Johnny Depp is really channeling, like, Elvis. Yeah. You know, he's definitely trying to be, like, an Elvis
All his suits that he wore in that movie had really broad shoulders. It just stuck out like a square, and I hated someone. A square. So they had the rakes and then squares.
Right.
Which the squares, like, literally vandalized a bunch of cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
I would murder someone. Honest to God, like, yeah, I don't blame. And the cops were like, "You're under arrest." It's like they vandalized our crap, and then they came at us and started punching first, bro. We started punching second. Also, the electric chair, and the what's it called? Or licking the tears off. Oh my God, stop.
Oh yeah, she totally did, or he did, right? Yeah. Who licked whose tears?
She
licked his tears right? off.
And then when he was in jail, she started saving her tears and then she drank.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then also at the end of the movie when they're in the car and they're both rushing at each other, the sister Piper, whatever her name was, she gives birth in the car. And also, why would they put the pregnant woman in the car when they're going to run into another car and kill all of each other? My question is, why, if you're pregnant and you have two other kids that you apparently love so much and you're giving birth to your third one, why do you go into the car where you're about to go die from?
Well, like, and she's also like in fights. Like, she's like, oh, I'll fight you. I'm pregnant, but like, I'll still kick your ass.
But it was just like, that made no sense. Like, you're about to give birth, and you have two other kids, and you're like, yeah, hey, I'm going to go die in the car.
What's funny is I don't even remember all that. Then, Iggy Pop was also in
and then the cringy, right. And then the cringy, she gets launched from the motorcycle and falls into Crybaby's arms, and then they both shed two tears.
And then Tracy Lords was in it too. And then there was another lady that was like always throwing herself at Crybaby. And she's the one, I'm pregnant with his baby
with all this stuff.
It's a bizarre movie. It's fun. It's worth a watch.
No, they told her she was wearing, my brother wouldn't touch your titties with a 10-foot stick. That was funny. I liked Little Me liked that one when I was younger. And then I don't know what it is, but they called her bathing suit undone laundry, but like I kind of liked it, and I was like dang it stop. I'm trying to remember any other parts. When they were singing at the fair, sorry, I had to really take a breath out. Like, I'm really like,
is there a reason you're holding on to the microphone stand like that?
Because it feels better. it's like more comfortable for me, so I can move it back and out. And
you
back
just can't and, stop fidgeting. That's what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I was drawing on my hand over here. But like when she's singing with her boyfriend and their two friends, I had no idea why they shoved her behind them when they were singing at the fair.
Right.
Made no sense. Like he was acting all, and then all of a sudden, you know, they did that. Her voice sounded terrible when she sings. Oh, guess what? She's a felon now. She killed someone in a drunk driving accident.
Easy. Jeez. That's not funny.
And no, I'm not laughing at that part. I'm laughing at the part because she was acting in the movie as a good girl. And then now she's a felon. I was like, dang, that did not work out well.
No. But very, very few times are people who they portray in movies.
I know, but I'm just saying it's funny that she was in a movie.
You know it's pretend, right?
I know it is, and I don't compare them to the actor. What I'm saying is that it's funny that she played a good girl, but she's actually a felon now. Mm-hmm. She's an idiot. But she sings terribly in the whole entire movie. Her voice, it was abusive because it's like a... You know, like it's really high pitched and it's abusive to my ears. So never sing again.
So that's the part you didn't like.
I didn't like
her
singing.
You just drew all over your face.
I didn't. I know how to use markers. Thank you very much. And this is the marker I use to draw that mustache.
What's your favorite part of this movie?
I'm trying to think. I think when Crybaby's singing at their little thing they got going on.
At like the when they're in the park, like when he first brings her to meet everyone?
Yeah, and they sing. That was nice because I like the song. It was kind of funny.
I thought it was hilarious how they set his motorcycle on fire. They set his motorcycle on fire, like burned his motorcycle.
Yeah, and then
he gets on it and he rides it away like it still runs.
Fine.
Yeah, like it still drives.
Also,
it's like,
he drove right into the police officers. Like, you didn't have the great idea to just go, you know, just whip, whip, you know, away. Because I like their song they sung. And I also like when they all are like, is it called a French kiss, right? And they were doing French kisses.
Oh, with the tongues and they're all crazy.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Because it was over the top. Yeah, it's definitely a goofy movie.
So, because I could never, as an actor, be able to stick my tongue in someone else's mouth. Also, the kids swapping suckers
for
the tongue. That was funny. Okay, now it's your turn.
Yeah, so I mean, like, to me, it's a funny movie, especially if you like any of those kind of movies like Grease and stuff like that. And it definitely is tongue in cheek and it's poking fun at Grease.
I like the movie.
And it's probably poking fun at like Grease's popularity, right? It's set in that time, the 1950s. You know, it's the same tropes, the bad boy, the people from opposite sides of the track, right? The good girl and the bad boy, and there's just something about it and they're attracted to each other. And I love like some of the cheesy lines that he had. You know, like he gets the tattoo of a tear tattooed on his face.
Yeah, but I didn't like the tear
tattoo.
He
was like,
I never liked the
tear
tattoo.
He was like, I want something like, I'll cry for her forever or something like that. Like it was just hilarious.
Saying that he'll cry forever for her, yeah.
What would you rate this movie?
I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
I like the movie a lot because it's just funny and stupid, but it's not like my favorite movie.
I'll give it a 6.
Grease used to be my favorite movie, and I'm disappointed in that.
I'll give it a 6 because to me, this is just not my kind of movie. Like, this isn't something that I go seeking out to watch. Like, I won't put it on repeat or anything like that. It's worth a watch. It's definitely worth a watch, especially to just see, like, if you like Grease or those type of musical movies, it's a fun time. Similar to, like, Hairspray, stuff like that. It's like that same kind of vein. Yeah, you've never seen Hairspray.
No, I haven't seen
I think
Hairspray.
That might be John Waters also. You should see Hairspray. If you like Crybaby, you'll probably like Hairspray.
I like older movies.
IMDb gives us a 6.5. IMDb gives it in between us.
Like I've been watching Dirty Dancing like crazy. I think, I don't know why.
Next
up. I can't wait for you to watch that because you haven't seen it.
Dirty Dancing?
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I've seen Dirty Dancing. Nobody puts Baby in the corner. Get out of here. Cursed, 2005.
I had the time of my life.
All right, this is not karaoke hour with Chastity.
This way before.
Oh my God, you sing so high pitch, it's making my ears hurt. Can you still not hear yourself?
No, I can hear myself.
Oh, okay. So you know how bad that was?
I'm looking at things to draw on my hand while we talk.
No, stop looking at things. Focus on this. put the stuff down. She's half tattooed her arm. She has almost.
It is not. That she is almost just has my a half hand. Sleeve right now. That is okay. Not true. It is just my hand.
So let's talk about curse.
I drew some nuts.
Someone's got to try to keep this thing together. Okay, curse. Okay, put your phone down.
What's curse?
So we're going to talk about curse. This movie came out in 2005. It was PG-13. It's 1 hour and 37 minutes. A werewolf loose in Los Angeles changes the lives of three young adults who, after being mauled by the beast, learn they must kill it in order to avoid becoming werewolves themselves. Now, this one was directed by Wes Craven. It was written by Kevin Williamson, and it stars Christina Ricci, Jesse Eisenberg, Portia de Rossi. Oh, she's in this movie? I don't remember her being in this movie, but I guess so. It's got quite a few other famous people as well. I don't remember Portia being in this movie, but it has also Maya, if anyone remembers Maya from way back in the day, singer and actress. Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie fame. It also had Milo Ventimiglia in it from This Is Us, I think is that show, right? It also had Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek fame. The main guy was Jesse Eisenberg.
I liked them. He's kind of cute.
It also had a really, really, really young Nick Offerman, better known as Ron Swanson.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, he was the police officer.
No, he was like the EMS.
Or EMS, yeah. And then it also has Judy Greer and Scott Baio and Craig Kilborn, Lance Bass. Like, it had quite a few different people in it.
It did. It had a Ron Swanson. God, that episode of on The Last of Us of him. Oh, my God. That was an amazing episode. I will forever watch the episode and cry.
Okay. So this...
Why did you say it like that? Did you not like the episode?
No, because we're talking about Curse, not well, The Last of Us.
I'm allowed to say a different
So in this
movie... Watch The Last of Us.
In this movie, Christina Ricci works for The Craig Kilborn Show, and she's dating Joshua Jackson, who's opening up a nightclub in downtown L.A., and her brother is like the nerdy outcast. He gets picked on.
Her boyfriend's opening up a nightclub. Get it right, bro.
That's what I said.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, because you're too busy drawing on yourself.
I'm drawing a dog, bro.
Let's focus.
I'm focusing.
Anyway, well. so they're driving down one of the roads. I can't remember. It's actually a famous road too. They're driving down the road, and then they hit an animal with their vehicle, and this other girl gets in an accident and goes off the road. So they go to try to help her, and then she gets eaten by some big crazy animal, and it scratches both of them. So they both get scratched, and then. They like the brother starts noticing weird things, right?
Yeah.
And he starts looking into it because he's like, that was not a bear. That was not a wolf. That was something crazier. That was something different.
I saw it.
So then he starts like looking into it and he thinks it's a werewolf. And then he starts like noticing things that line up with like werewolves and stuff like that, right? So he really thinks it is. Now, if you've seen like Scream or any of Wes Craven's movies, it definitely has like a fun 2000s vibe to it, right? It feels very much like those other movies, like I Know What You Did Last Summer or like Scream, especially Scream, because that was definitely a Wes Craven movie. And I think Kevin Williamson might have even wrote Scream as well. So it does a good job of being like tongue-in-cheek and kind of fun. Jesse Eisenberg does a pretty good job because of the way he delivers his humorous lines. Like,
yeah.
Chas was loving his humor, especially once he realized he was a werewolf.
What's
and
he
was
now?
Like he was like enjoying the powers of the werewolf.
I watched him in that zombie movie, Landon.
Yeah, he was in Zombieland.
What's,
yep.
What's his name?
And so
what's his name?
She.
I'll just search up the cast.
Chas really liked that his character there. But anyway, they find out that Joshua Jackson is also a werewolf, and that Judy Greer is the werewolf that was killing everyone because she had unprotected sex with him, with Joshua Jackson, and ended up somehow...
No, they had some rough...
They had some rough
sex,
right.
She said it was rough.
But ended up becoming a werewolf, and then she's killing all these other girls because they dated Joshua Jackson's character, and she wanted them all for herself. So now Christina Ricci's starting to have the powers, and Jesse Eisenberg's having the powers, and like Christina Ricci is like fighting it, but Jesse was like he was loving it, right? Like
yeah,
he gets picked on
it.
by the gym who, wrestlers.
Yeah,
don't eat the microphone.
I didn't eat the mic.
You went like this. You're like, yeah, 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 right on the microphone.
I was moving it closer so I can draw.
He, like, Jesse Eisenberg, like, he ends up trying out for the wrestling team because, like, the wrestling captain is dating this girl that he likes, and the wrestling captain is, like, always making, like, gay jokes towards him and calling him gay and stuff like that. And once Jesse starts realizing he's a werewolf and having this like
power.
This power, but the confidence, right?
Yeah.
Then he like he goes there and he whoops everyone's ass and all this stuff, and now he's kind of like hot shit. And then it's funny because Milo Ventimiglia, the wrestling captain's character, comes to his house and he's like, all that gay stuff you said about me, how did you know? And he's like, you relate to me. And he like tries to kiss him and he's like, no, man, that's just my supernatural attraction because I'm a werewolf. Like, you just find me irresistible. Yeah. Like, it was real funny.
Like, I wouldn't mind being a werewolf. Like, I have superpowers.
I don't know if
I wouldn't like
superpowers.
I wouldn't like turning into a werewolf, but I'd be like, dang, I'm more attractive.
And having to kill things or people.
I mean, you could just do what they did in the quarry and lock yourself up.
You could.
I'd be like, hey. Around this time, I would have a couple people that knew about it, and I'd be like, hey, make sure I'm chained in the basement with some crazy chains. Get a big cage. And put me in it. Electric.
So what did you think about this movie, Chaz?
I think the comedy was on point. It was funny, like when she was like when the main bad wolf lady, after she, you know, when she was trying to kill the main lady and her brother. And she runs away, and then well, who was it? And then the main girl character,
Christina Ricci.
Yeah, she goes, well, she has raggedy hair,
bad skin,
and big thighs. And she goes,
and the werewolf comes out,
"F you, liar!" and flips her off. And that was awesome. I love that.
And then they shot her to death. Yeah, that was how they got her out.
I loved that part. Dang, I'm loud as nuts.
Yeah, because you're eating the microphone.
I like that part. That was love it. So the comedy was on point. I figured the boyfriend was bad, but I was like, was he good?
And well, because like, he was selling it as like, oh, you know,
I can help you.
I can help you. I can teach you to live
with
it.
I've been like this forever.
Right, I was born this way.
So then, yeah.
But then he was like, I'm going to have to kill your brother.
Then he was like, I did this to you so that you'd be mine forever. But I was like, yeah.
Well, because they killed the girl. So, like, you know, you're supposed to sever the line. So they killed the girl that they thought was the one.
But she wasn't.
It was him because it didn't stop it. They were still wolves.
But anyway.
And the dog turned into a werewolf because the dog like bit his finger.
Zipper.
And then that Zipper turned into a werewolf and went all crazy.
I felt bad for Zipper. He's just a good boy.
Yeah, but he was fine at the end.
Yeah, he was fine. I know.
Chaz really thought the dog was going to die in the car.
Hold on. When they were driving and like we got to see the dog at the beginning of the movie, whatever they were doing. I forgot what they were doing in the beginning of the movie. But we see the dog and them hanging out with him. And then when they're driving and I made sentence, I was saying something to mom and I saw the dog in the car. And then I was like, so I'm like mid sentence talking to mom and I'm like, oh, the dog's going to die, isn't it? This is how this movie's going to go.
I said the dog dies. When animals die in movies.
I said when the dog dies, I'm done. I'm not watching this movie anymore. Like, listen.
But the dog didn't die.
You can kill as many kids as you want. You can kill as many adults in a movie as you want. You could kill my favorite character and I will still not be as upset with you as if you kill the dog. If you kill the dog or any other animal, like I can get over like a rabbit or a deer or all that, like that's food you can eat, but don't kill my dog. Like if you want to eat me, I wouldn't eat my dog in a zombie apocalypse. I don't care how much I was starving. I couldn't eat Bam Bam. I could never. And they can, like, why can't they just go hunt me some food, you know? Yum yum. But yeah. You can't kill the dog. Don't kill the dog.
So she was really worried about the dog.
Yeah, I was really worried about the dog.
And then the dog.
And then the dog was fine. But then when it turned into a werewolf, I was more worried because it ran off. And then it came back, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, it was cool because they do, like, I mean, the costume effects were a little goofy, right? Looked a little dated. But it was still funny because, like, what did it do? It was trying to, the werewolf is stalking this girl in the parking garage, and it was trying to get her to reveal where she was. So it, like, scraped its nails along the car.
Yeah,
like
I would have gave up right then.
Like,
and there.
That squealing, oh my God, I'm having a feeling right
died.
Now. Right? Like, it was funny because, like, the werewolf, the way they made the werewolves in this movie was not so much where it was just a pure beast.
Yeah,
like it's still had no control. It's still right. It still had the personality, just like she said when they were like, oh, the fat hips and all that stuff. It came out, was like, liar, and then started flipping her off, and then that's how they shot it. So it was it's to me, it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. It's a unique werewolf movie. It's by far not my favorite werewolf movie, but it's pretty good just for the fact of like it brought some werewolf stuff to modern times. And it was just fun, right? We see this kind of like trope done in other movies, and it was just the way they did it here was a fun time. It wasn't too bad.
It was good.
What would you rate it?
I would rate it I put a mad face in my middle finger because that would make sense the most. But this is a smiley face, so it's just.
I was asking you what you thought of this. So what you would rate this face. Movie, not. Oh, you're giving me a smiley face.
Yay!
Ring finger?
Yeah, so.
So apparently we're rating movies on smiley faces now, on emojis.
I'd rate it.
Is that going to be our new? Is that going to be our new rating system?
Yeah,
emojis.
You gotta write stuff on your hand.
It's a smiley face. It's a mad face. It's a sad face.
And a bleh.
And a bleh. So, what would you rate this?
I rate it like a 8. I'd give it an 8.
Ooh, you give it an 8?
It was good comedy. I mean, it wasn't like the best quality because you know it's an older movie, but it's fun. It's fun. It's different. Because like I like which like how you pointed out, they didn't make the animal like a complete beast. It was still had human, like they could control it to a degree.
Right. Yep. I would give it a 7. I think I would give this one a 7.
My marker's running out.
Good. I think I would give it a 7. Again, there's other werewolf movies that I like better. It's decent. No, stop. Stop it. It's decent. it's fun. And it's a good modern take on the werewolf mythology.
Yeah.
But it's not the best Oh My God movie. I will definitely watch this movie repeatedly. I've seen it multiple times just because it's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. It's a good, you know, got nothing else to watch. Let's watch Cursed, especially if it's like around Halloween time and you're in the mood for like something that's like
I can watch
not
it again.
Not necessarily scary, but like deals with scary kind of things and is fun. Don't freaking lick a marker. Oh my Lord. I'm going to take away your marker. All right, and that brings us to our last movie. Let me see where we're at here.
I was going to say I would watch it again.
Okay.
And I would recommend people to watch it.
I would recommend people to watch it too.
I'm going to make Landon watch it.
Okay. Are you going to make Landon watch this one? This one is Damsel. This one came out in 2024. It's PG-13. Like it was 1 hour and 50 minutes long. And it's about a dutiful damsel agrees to marry a handsome prince, only to find the royal family has recruited her as a sacrifice to repay an ancient debt. Mm. It was directed by Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. Its writer was Dan Mazzao. I'm going to butcher that name. I'm sorry. It stars Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. Ray Winstone, Angela Bassett, a couple other people that you might recognize if you watch it, some up-and-comers. What's the guy's name? The prince.
But I know the prince Jurassic.
Is, the prince is familiar, too.
Jurassic World or Jurassic Park, what it's called.
Nick Robinson is the prince. I think he was in Jurassic one of the Jurassic World movies. It also has Robin Wright in it as well. And that's about it for people that I recognized. This one was interesting, right? This girl from a kingdom that's like lives in like a winter kind of barren land and life is hard and mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to prevent their people from starving. And then all of a sudden they get this proposal from a very rich kingdom on an island.
Yep.
And so they go to visit there to see what this is all about for this proposal. And it's like picture perfect, right? It's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yep.
But the stepmom, Angela Bassett, she starts to like question it and have some doubts. But the king is like, we're going to do this. But he clearly doesn't seem happy to. And it turns out, right, they get married and they do this little ceremony where they cut their hands and they mix their blood. And now she's a royal. And then he throws her into a pit.
Yo, listen. First mistake. You trusted someone to carry you over the smallest bridge over a deep hole. That was your first mistake.
They did like the classic, I'm going to carry you into our marital home.
So if I ever get married and we're over a really deep hole, which wouldn't happen to begin with. And it was a small bridge, and then we combined our blood together. And then he's like, "Let me carry you across this bridge." I'd be like,
and he told her to close his eyes.
I'd be like, "You go first, because if someone's pushing someone off, it's gonna be me pushing you off, my friend. Move. I'm not letting that. I mean, like your family's rich and stuff, so."
So he throws her into this pit, And it turns out that there is a dragon. And well, a long time ago,
a long time ago,
this king killed the dragon's three babies. Mm-hmm. And then the dragon came and killed all the king's men. And the king begged for his life. And the dragon made him a deal. Give me your daughters every generation and I'll let your people live. And I won't mess with you. So they've been feeding her every generation. They've been feeding her the dragon's a girl. Yes. They've been feeding the dragon. They're women, right? They're daughters.
But
they've been cheating.
Yeah.
What they've been doing is finding girls from around the land to marry into the family and do the blood thing. And the way the dragon knew that they were royal, that they were related, was because it could smell the blood. It could smell the royal blood in them. And so when they would cut their hands and put their hands together, their bloods would mix. And now the girl would have, the bride would have the smell of royal blood. And so the dragon thought that she was getting revenge for her killed children, when realistically they were lying to her the whole time. And so Millie Bobby Brown's character, she first doesn't really know any of this stuff, kind of figures it out because she talks to the dragon and the dragon's having fun. You know, it's a game to the dragon. And she's trying to figure out how to survive, obviously. And she has a little sister and her dad and her mom. And then she almost gets out. She finds a way to almost get out, but it ends up being a
ginormous cliff in the mountain.
It's a giant cliff in the top of this mountain. So like, that's not a way. And then she hears people and the dragon flies away because the dragon hears people and it's her dad came back to get her. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alerts, by the way.
Yeah, you did not give
a warning. Spoiler alerts. And so the dad ends up dying. She ends up getting out. She ends up escaping.
With the dragon. Because she tells the dragon the truth. And then
before that. Remember, she escaped before that. Then they took her sister and she had to go back in.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so she escapes on her own and then finds out that her sister and the dragon couldn't find her. So the dragon's doing all this crazy stuff, lighting the sky on fire and stuff. And the kingdom's like, oh, man, that stupid girl.
Oh, crap. Stupid.
So they go and get her sister, who's on the boat waiting for the dad to come back. So they go and get her sister, and they take her sister and throw her in. Mm-hmm. And so she has to make the whole journey again through the dragon's like lair and stuff to try to save her sister. And that's where she's able to defeat the dragon and almost kills the dragon, but then tells the dragon that, hey, like, you're fighting me for the wrong reason. We've both been lied to, and explains what's going on and how the dragon's been duped, and then heals the dragon. Because ultimately, right, the dragon wasn't a bad
character. No, she was grieving.
She was grieving and angry. And the dragon even tells her that, like, no, they killed my babies for no reason. I hadn't even messed with them. So, like, the story that the kingdom was telling was different than the story the dragon had. Obviously, there's two sides to each story.
Yo.
So then she works together with the dragon.
Yeah, but I like the way that they made it out. Like, the character is like, well, you've been killing people's innocent babies for centuries.
Right. Hundreds of years. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I wish she would have said Jacaris. That would have been so funny if they just did a callback to Game of Thrones or, like, House of the Dragon. Was
yeah,
like,
she really wanted Jacaris to see her, like, riding the dragon. So then what happens is she walks in all disheveled and bloody and stuff.
Yeah,
She looked like a hot mess.
She looked pretty, though.
She walks in on them marrying. So they had to give three daughters, one for each baby dragon, right?
Yep.
So she was the second sacrifice. So there's her husband marrying another woman, and she comes walking into the wedding and is even saying, is like, oh, so you're the third one? Oh, you know, I thought you loved me. Thanks a lot. Like, threw me in the dungeon with the dragon and stuff. And the queen's getting all cocky and is like, oh, you've got no idea what you did and you're going to pay for this and all that stuff. And she's like, I'm going to give all of you
one chance to leave
before she hits the fan.
You get to book it.
And then the dragon shows up and kills.
Okay, I love it when she said that because one of the maids was like, no. She instantly ran. No hesitation. She didn't even know why.
Yep.
She just in the back of her head, she said, yeah, someone's going to go down. I'm out. I would have done the same. I assume she would have said, if someone gives you a warning and says you have one chance to book it before crap hits the fan.
Especially if you knew that, like, you fed her to a dragon and here she is.
I'm going to book it. far away, especially if I had nothing to do with it and I was just some maid on the side.
Because these people knew the dragons were real.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So then the dragon shows up and burns the royal family.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll give the son this.
He didn't want to do it.
He argued against doing it.
Yeah. He still did it.
But his mom still like told you need this is what you have to do for your people to keep your people safe. So he did it anyway.
And in the end,
the dragon was burning him,
he took it like a champ. He stood there and closed his eyes.
He was like, all right, I deserve this. Where the mom was like fighting against it.
Doing a weird scream.
So it's a fun movie.
Yeah. I actually liked it.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part? The dragon.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she goes back to her people with all this money and food and stuff.
And the dragon.
And the dragon's flying with them.
Yes. Basically, I liked Daenerys. The way the story was set up. Like, it was a good story. Like, obviously, the dragon wasn't, like, the best CGI.
It was okay.
It was good enough. But I actually do like that they made the dragon talk.
Me too.
I do like when they don't make the dragon talk. Instead, it tells a story without talking. But I like that they made...
Oh, man. Wait till we get to Reign of Fire.
But I like the way that they made this dragon talk, and I like the story behind it, like I said. And actually, everything, the plot and stuff, it was all set up very nicely. And I like the reveal to the dragon of what happened and the dragon's revenge. And whoever voiced that dragon, like, I like your voice.
I'm sure it was, like, digitally worked on a lot.
I know, but still, I like the voice of the dragon.
It was fun. It was crazy, like, just seeing, like, the costume, because it was hilarious. We were making comments when they were dressing her in the wedding gown, like, how uncomfortable that was. Yeah. And then it, like, it got her stuck.
Yeah, I was like...
There was a couple, like, heavy foreshadowing things. Like, they stuck some kind of metal
in between her breasts.
And I don't know what the purpose of that served other than she used it as a knife.
Yeah, but like as soon as I would have fell into a hole and I saw multiple other crowns down there with me, like, this ain't the first time. And then I rip off. Especially if I'm going to go into another littler hole, I'm going to rip off all them layers, and then I'm going to go through the hole.
Yeah, she was running around for a little bit in the whole dress, and then she realized, I need to get the hell out of this.
Yeah, and then she got burned.
Yeah, then she got burned a couple times. That's how she found the healing worms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She tough. But, yeah, amazing acting all around, and I liked it. It's actually pretty good. And, I liked the plot, and I liked how the dragon kind of toyed with her.
Oh, it was definitely like a cat and mouse kind of game.
And the way she said, like... The other girls tried to run, but they're dead now and all that. And she's like, it's fine. We'll just have fun. And she just kept toying with her, which was fun. Like when the dragon saw her going up the mountain thing.
Yeah, going up the crystal.
Up the crystals. And she didn't burn her or anything. She's watching. She
totally could have burned her.
Yeah, she could have.
She's climbing sharp crystals, climbing up a tunnel.
Yeah, she could have.
Up a shaft.
She could have burned her, but she didn't. She was watching because she was toying. And I thought that was... Remember that one time I thought I heard something behind me?
Yeah, and you freaked out?
Yeah, I flipped around real quick.
Like that right there?
Stop. Yeah. but I liked it. But also, I'm not going to lie, the girl was kind of dumb when she got up to the top. No. When she got up top... You're trying to play with me, and I'm not going to do it. Yeah, you're doing your face, acting like something's behind me.
I was. Behind you and above you.
Yeah, you were. You're trying to act like it's real big. Anyway... Because you wouldn't be acting like that. You'd be like, Chastity. Or you'd be, actually, maybe you wouldn't. Would you protect me?
I mean.
As your child? I don't know if I'd protect my child.
I mean, look,
child.
There's a big table in between us. That's true. So there's not much I can do right now.
You could try to launch yourself over the table, you know. I don't know if I'd protect my child. Depends. Depends how old I am.
We'll hopefully never have to figure out.
Now, anyway. As I was saying, she was kind of stupid when she was up on top, when she climbed up the crystals and got out that hole. And, you know, it's a big cliff and she's, I mean, you could just kill yourself, but, you know. Wait, she should have just killed herself. The dragon came out of the hole, by the way.
But she didn't want to kill herself. Why did she want to kill herself? She
was trying to. So that the dragon would get angry and be like, sucker, I didn't get my food. Anyway.
They would have just found another person.
I know.
Because remember, there was all the names, all the girls wrote
on the
their
wall.
Names
and
that survived.
She
wrote hers too. And it was kind of like for all those that got sacrificed.
I know. Anyway, as I was saying, she saw people down there. She saw people that were looking at the mountain down below. And she started screaming. And I was like, girl.
They're not going to hear you.
One, you got really high wind up where you're at.
Yep.
And two, they're like... thousands of feet below you.
Way down there.
You're
bottom of a mountain.
Yeah, they're never going to hear you.
And then
here
comes a dragon. He almost got you.
Yeah, and then the dragon's like, hey, boo, sucker. And then it starts going, okay, you know. But, yeah. I actually liked it. It was fun.
It was a fun movie.
Reminded me of Avatar.
Would you recommend people to watch it?
Yeah, actually, I would.
And what would you rate it?
I give it like a 7-8. Maybe I'll give it a 7.5.
I was going to go with a 7 too.
I liked it. It was good. It wasn't obviously like my favorite movie in the world. It wasn't the best movie in the world.
It's an entertaining watch.
But it's actually entertaining, and I liked the story of it, and it was a good story. It was a fun story. I would recommend it. I might show it to Landon just to play around with him because he probably would hate it because he's not into fantasy, I assume. I mean, he likes anime.
Yeah, I would go with a 7. I would recommend, you know, it's worth one watch. It's worth a watch at least. Yeah. And realistically, if I was like scrolling through channels and I came to it, I'd probably watch it again.
I'd probably watch it again just for craps and giggles if I was just bored. And I was like, I got nothing else to do.
Am I going to go out of my way to be like, yo, I got to watch Damsel again?
No. No, I wouldn't be like, dude, you got to watch this. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to watch it. You want to watch it?
Yeah, if you like dragons, it's a good medieval dragon kind of movie.
Dragons.
So it checks off all those.
I can't wait for House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
I can't wait for season 2. I can't wait. Anyway, I'm guessing you're wrapping it up.
I am wrapping it up.
Hold on, we gotta get
the life lessons.
Yeah.
What are Chastity's life lessons?
We have 4 movies. First one is Crash. Don't be racist. That sucks. And don't try to kill people. That also sucks. Oh dang. Two. What was the second movie? Crybaby.
Don't be a crybaby. Don't lick people's tears.
Yeah, don't drink people's tears. And if you want to get out of jail, just have your girlfriend dance on top of a car and sing, and then you'll get out of the jail. And have an old grandma that can flirt with the judge. Three. That was a werewolf movie. If you get bit, become a werewolf. That's kind of cool if you can control it. make sure you can hide in the basement and chain yourself up so you don't hurt other people and give them your superpower because you should be the only one that has it because you can be the only person and be cool. And then 4. If someone's walking you over a bridge,
don't let them carry you.
And they say, hey, babe, let me carry you. And there's a deep hole beneath you. Don't let them carry you.
How about if you? How about if your wedding party is a bunch of
people
with
golden
crazy
mask
golden
on?
Masks that look like a
just
cult?
Just dip. Yeah, just run out of there.
I don't know if I need to do this whole ceremony that's like a ritual for your whole family.
And have fun with a dragon. Like, have a bestie dragon. Also, if you were to sacrifice me to some people just because you wanted food and stuff.
Hard times.
I mean, if they were rich kingdom
hard
people.
Hard times call for hard
I
choices.
I know, but why can't you do it with the other sister?
Because she...
The age doesn't matter. Back then, age... they don't give a crap.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sacrifice my sister. Why me? I'm more useful. All she does is talk. I was actually
so
chopping
selfish.
Wood. I don't care. I don't want to get thrown into a hole.
Well, luckily you don't have to worry about dragons, werewolves being thrown into
that?
A hole with any kind of cult
How
or
do you
anything
know that?
Like that.
You believe in aliens. Maybe there is. Maybe there is.
And that'll do this episode of the Movie Challenge Podcast. I'm your host, JP.
And I'm your other host, Chastity.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.